No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, and you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said that not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to the place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash others and others' feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. We thank God for his precious word. When I came about, I think about 4 weeks ago, I was talking on discipleship, of the calling of the disciples. And this morning I thought I'd bring, still as disciples, that we are also servants. We are here to serve. As disciples, as Christians, we are here to serve other people. It wasn't so long ago, how many months was it now, when King Charles was enthroned as king. And if you saw that service, a lot of it was about he as king was to be a servant to the people that he served, to this nation. And as far as I know, he took that very seriously, as to him to serve our nation. And so for King Charles, he is a servant of us, as it were. But we have a greater king than Charles. We have Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he came to be a servant. And this is an amazing reading about what we read here, about how Jesus himself came to serve. When you think who he was, when you think he left the glory of heaven, he left the wonder, left his Father, and he came to this earth to live the life that he lived, and then to die the death that he died. And he done that because he is a servant and he came to serve. And that story about where he came and he washed the disciples' feet, it was just a duty that, it was the lowest of the low would have done that. He was sitting, eating his meal. And, you can imagine he was, however they ate a meal in those days, probably wasn't knives and forks, it probably with their fingers, I assume, and he was eating, and then all of a sudden he just put the food down, he left it, he got up, and he put that towel around his waist, and then he went and washed the feet of the disciples. And as I say, that is about as low as you could get. You was a slave, you whatever it was, whatever the lowest of the low was, that's the sort of job that this person would have done. But Jesus came to serve, to be a servant, and he came and he put that towel. And you can imagine that, like in the summer months here, I'm not so bad now I'm older, but in my younger days, summer months was not a good day, was not good for my feet. They stunk, they was awful. Now, I'm not be quite honest, as I got older, that's not quite the problem now, thankfully. But for Jesus, he got up and he washed those disciples' feet. What a gesture. The King of Kings, he should actually lower himself to that point where he would take off his outer garment and put on that, fit that on to make him that apron to say, this is what I am, I'm a servant. He'd done that and washed the feet of those disciples. And of course, he even washed the feet of Judas. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. Of course, he knows everything. But even to Judas, he came and he still washed his feet. Isn't that amazing? you know, for people that we might know, people that we do not always get on with, to do something good and kind to them. It's not always easy to do that. But for Jesus, nothing was too small or nothing was too bad for him to do. He could do whatever he wanted because who he was. What an amazing person that he was. And then this is the same Jesus who cleansed lepers, healed the blind, healed the dumb, who just raised people to death, from the dead to life again. You know, this same Jesus who done this such humbling thing was the same Jesus as who has done all these wonderful miracles that we read about in the Bible. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, we look at these miracles that Jesus did. Did he really do them? Yes, of course he did. It says it in the Bible. If he says he done these miracles, he done it. We don't have to start trying to, well, did it really happen? What, you know, all this rubbish that we can come out with. You know, if we believe the Bible, Jesus performed these amazing miracles, and he performed this amazing thing of being a servant and to serve other people who he come into contact with. Humility, I've got to make sure I get this right. As I read this and thinking about it and looking at the different things and, you know, different commentaries and things, and it said humility was despised in the ancient world as a sign of weakness. So people, to do a thing like that, you would have looked at and thought, you're weak, you're nothing to do a thing like that. It was something that people have been despised, really looked down upon because of something that Jesus did. But this is what Jesus did. He was absolutely quite not worried about what people thought. How often do we worry about what people think about us? You know, sometimes when we want to talk about Jesus, well, what are people going to say? What are they going to think about me? You know, we don't have to worry about what people think. We want to do what we do because we love Jesus. We want to live lives that glorifies our amazing Lord. And we don't have to think of people being, you know, people looking at us and being despised. It doesn't matter what people think about us. When we think Jesus was hung on that cross, he had been whipped and beaten, nails put in his hands, his feet. He suffered awful, absolutely awful. And then there was the Father in heaven. He couldn't even look at the Son because he had become sin. My sin, your sin, that he took our place on that cross. And if Jesus could take that humiliation, take that pain, take that suffering, to give up his life because he loves us so much, then I think to myself, why do I worry sometimes what somebody might think about what I'm doing? I know when I was at work, it would just be so difficult, well, not difficult, but going to work on a Monday, and people would say, well, what did you do over the weekend? A lot of people would be talking about football and other things, whatever it may be. And, you know, we've gone to church, or I might have been preaching that Sunday, or whatever it might be. And sometimes I felt, it pains me to say it, but sometimes I felt embarrassed because I was actually preaching the gospel. I'd been to church, I'd met with other Christians. Why should I be like that when I think what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary for me? You know, we don't have to worry. You know, yes, it can be difficult. Sometimes when we're working in certain situations, it can be so difficult about saying things, and, you know, so people can be so hostile towards us. But when we think what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, what's a bit of name calling or a bit of whatever it may be, it's nothing compared with what Jesus has done for us. So what an example Jesus set us as a servant king. Jesus loved his disciples. He loved them so much. They were so special and precious to him. By Jesus humbling himself, basically he has dignified humility. He dignified it to say, yes, it is okay. It is okay to do these things. And he made it dignified, where a lot of people would have looked down on him because of who he is and because of what he had done. People would have had a go at him. But he actually dignified being humble. So when we go out this week, if we do good things, say nice things, whatever it may be, You know, Jesus has actually dignified being humility. You don't have to think, oh, you know, what people are going to say about me. Let them think what they say, what they want to think about. But let's just live our lives that glorifies Jesus. What about our servanthood? Think about Jesus, what he's done on the cross of Calvary, the washing of feet. He became a total servant, and that's why he came to this world, to be that servant. What about us? How are we dignified? Do we find things so hard to do? Do we find it difficult? I know, going back, this is many years now, about 35 years, I think, I was at Red Hill Baptist Church. That was my church in those days, there for 34 years. And somebody said to me, would I go and preach at their church? I'd never preached before. I wasn't a preacher. People might say, no, he still ain't a preacher, but hopefully that's... But you know, I actually went and preached down at Crawley Pentecostal Church. That's where it was, Crawley Pentecostal Church. This chap said, come and preach at my church. I said, no, I can't do that. So he said, so I put a couple of services together because they wanted me morning and evening. And I went and I preached, and I think it went okay. And anyway, the following Sunday, I was back at Red Hill Baptist. And after the service, they was making tea. And someone came up to me after, when the order tea had been made and whatever, and said to me, Barry, would you like to help with the wiping up, please? No, last week I actually preached two services at a church. You know, am I going to do washing up after preaching the word? And God just hit me with a bolt. Who do you think you are? I can really feel it. You know, he just said to me, who do you think you are? Do you think you're too big to do washing up? That's for other people, not for you. But that's how I felt. And it's so easy how we can do these things. You know, we can think of jobs in the church that we think of, that's a high job, that's a good job, and that job for, well, that's for somebody else. We wouldn't want to be touched with that. But that really, really touched home to me, that I just think, because I can stand up and preach, that I can't do other things for God. And that really just touched me. If I'm the servanthood, if I'm a servant of God and to serve other people, that no job is too small or little or too big, whatever it may be. God really touched me. So how do we serve each other in this fellowship? Now, again, I know some of you, but you know, I don't know exactly what everybody does, what people do as jobs in here. But do we love each other to want to serve each other? Do we love each other to want to serve each other? Because God so loved us that he put his love in our lives, that we should want to love each one of us here. Now, for me, going to church on a Sunday is the most important thing of the week, basically. I will go, if I don't go to church, it's because I'm ill or something's happened or whatever. Sunday is special. Sunday is precious, because Sunday is the day when I spend time with my fellow Christians, whatever church that may be. Right, I'm not in my own church today, but I'm here with fellow Christians. It doesn't make any difference what church it is. I just love Christians. I hope that when you see each other on a Sunday, when you see each other during the week, whenever it may be, that when you see each other, you look at each other and thought, I love that person, because that person has the same Saviour as me, and Jesus died for that person as much as that person did for me. I hope that that's why when I take communion, I always like that bit where we have that time of a moment of just being able to sort, if there's got something wrong, there's something we've done or said, or we got some problem with another brother or sister, that we sort it out, because as brothers and sisters, we should love each other so much. We should be so special and so precious. At the end of that chapter, or near the end of that chapter, it says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's not a if you could, if you like, you might do. It's a command. Love each other. It's not what I'm saying. Now, I appreciate, and I've said this before, there are some Christians who basically get right up my nose. People I find a struggle, not say I don't like them, but they, whatever they say or do, it just seems to wind me up. So there are people I really struggle to love. But God says, I've got to. No ifs, no buts. It's a command, a new command. It's a new command that we love each other as I have loved you. So we've got to love people the same way that Jesus has loved us. And that ain't easy, is it? If, you know, from a human point of view, it's not easy. But with God, we can do those things because we believe in the God of the impossible. He's the God that can do anything and everything. And if he can do it, so we should add to it as well, that we love our fellow brothers and sisters. And I think, you know, when, if I, the people that I know, there was, not long ago, I took a funeral, and it was somebody that I knew, got to know very well. And when that person died, you know, it was just agonizing to see that person die. But I loved that lady, and you know, a much older lady, and lived on her own. And then we went to a funeral, I took her funeral. But I just knew where she was. I knew that at the moment of death, she went to be with Jesus. She went to spend eternity with the Lord and to meet her husband again. And it was just hard to lose another Christian friend. But that's how God wants us to love each other. We are special. So if this morning, if you've got a problem with somebody, I'm not saying it, but God's saying it, sort it out. I mean, hopefully you all get on well. You have no problems with each other. You love each other to bits and everything is good. I hope that is the case. But if not, let us be that people that love each other, who want to serve each other. And also, as leaders, I'm not quite sure exactly who the leaders are. I've heard that someone's going to become a deacon, hopefully, shortly. So you know your leadership here. And can I just say to the leadership here, so easy. We can be domineering. You know, I'm a leader. I do this. I say this. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, we can come over not as servants. Because as people who lead this church, or any church, they are servants of that church. They are there to serve the congregation. So again, I don't know who the leaders are, so I'm not looking at anybody particularly, but if you're a leader here, that you serve Jesus with humility, with understanding, with love, that people can see Jesus flowing out of you, you know, because that's what we want, just not just within the fellowship here, but as we leave this place and wherever we may go. And again, for whatever jobs, again, you know that what goes on in this church. That's the beauty when you come into a church. You don't know too much what goes on. You can't really can't look at anybody particularly and say, well, me, you know, whatever. You can poke a finger at somebody. But whatever job has God called you to be here? Because so often in some of the churches, you get so many people always having a whinge and a moan, but do very little. And it's just a few that do the jobs in the church. So whatever job has called, whatever God has called you to do in this church, don't think, you know, oh, that's too low for me. Just do it, and do it for God's glory. Because, you know, not everybody can stand up and preach, not everybody can lead Bible studies and do all those spiritual things that I say. You know, it's not for everybody. But where will we be when at the end of the day, when we, you know, when we want a cup of tea, or someone to go and visit somebody, or someone to put flowers? Do you put flowers out? No, all right, not this one. But in some churches, you know, you've got lashes of flowers all over the place. You know, again, it's a ministry. You know, don't look at yourself and think, well, I don't do very much. My job is very minimal. Don't look at it like that at all. You know, so what you do is perhaps somebody else doesn't want to do or can't do. But do what you do to glorify God. Just leave it to God and say, Lord, you know, I'm not very good, but I can do this. I can clean up afterwards on a Sunday or during a week or whatever it may be. We might think of minimal jobs, but it is still important. It's the body. We all have different parts. We all do different things. And we're all so important to each other. So whatever job you do in this church, do it because you love Jesus. Do it because you love the folk in this church and you want to make life that little bit better for other people in this fellowship. So let's be a people, you know, it may be that you're still seeking. No, Lord, what are you showing me? What do you want me to do? You know, we might be doing a job for a long time. Maybe God's saying to us, well, I want you to give up that job and I want you to start doing this. You know, just be seeking God, what he wants you to do. And if you think it's just a very minimal job, forget that. Don't think of that way. You know, Lord, what are you saying? But I want to do it in this fellowship to glorify your name. And for myself, I've been a Christian. Next week, it'd be 52 years I've been a Christian. And in those 52 years, you know, God has led me and guided me and showed me the different things he wanted to do. And I'm now 76. You know, Lord, what do you still want me to do? I don't want to get hang up and not do anything. You know, I've got my health, thankfully. I've got my energy. I still want to be doing things for you, Lord. Show me what it is. I don't know if you know that, we've just basically left Reigate Baptist Church about 6 or 7 months ago. And we've gone to another church now. And I'm just seeking there, is that the church that God wants us to be in? And if it is, what does he want me to do? Because I don't want to sit in a pew every week and do nothing. I want to serve that church. I want to be part of that church. I want to be glorifying God and bringing glory and honor to him and serving the people that I am in our new church. So, you know, we're never too old. We've never been in a church too long to keep on seeking. Lord, what are you saying? You know, he may have called us in to do one job. It's like a season. That season may now be over, taking us from one job to do something else, whatever it is. And it's good because you're just seeing God, what God is saying. But whatever it is that we do it to glorify his name. So let us be a church of servanthood and humility. Nothing should be too much trouble for whatever we do. Should never be a trouble, but we're doing it because of our Lord. And then verse 17, right at the end, it says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So if we do these things, whatever it is God has called us, we're blessing others, but also we are blessed as well. Yes, it's a two-way thing. You can't lose, can you? You know, because other people in the church are being blessed in whatever way that is. But God says, I will bless you too. And, you know, and I think quite often when whatever I do, hopefully when I finish doing what I'm doing, I just feel blessed. Not to think, oh, look at me, look what I've done, look how clever I am. No, not like that. But I just feel blessed because I've done something for Jesus, who's done so much for me in the first place. And that's what we can do for Jesus. So let us be blessed. So life of servanthood for Jesus ended on the cross. For him, the ultimate was death. For him to serve, that's what he gave for each one of us. Now, perhaps for us in this country, that we may not be called to die for our faith, but for it may be that being a servant for Jesus, it may be difficult. We may miss out on things, whatever it may be. But for Jesus, it was that ultimate of servanthood. And in all these things, whatever we do, so often we can say, now how am I going to do this? You know, we look at things, but you realize that God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. We can actually say to ourselves, well, I'm just nothing. Oh, I hate it when Christians say that to me. Oh, I'm just nothing. Oh, I can't do nothing. Oh, stop it, stupid people. I feel like saying, you know, you are something. Jesus has died for you. You are special because Jesus died, for goodness sake. And because the moment you gave your life to Jesus, he came into our lives. We have Jesus, or God, in us through the Holy Spirit. And we have power. And we can do everything in and through the power that God gives us. We are not weak, rubbishy Christians. We are strong, amazing people because God lives in us. And let that life that we have in us, let that shine out and let other people see Jesus in us. So wherever you may be today, I hope that, you know, some ways it's a bit difficult, but I hope it's an encouragement that you are special, you are precious. Jesus was a servant. We want to be a servant and we want to serve Jesus. And if whatever we do, will always glorify God. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want God to be glorified in our lives? I know that's what I want. So whatever you do today, this coming week, this coming month, whatever it may it be that God will be glorified and let us live those lives that bring glory to our amazing, wonderful Saviour. In his name we ask. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.